Right, 806 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Let's do this. Tuesday morning edition, already 80. Let's see, refresh this. Do I even dare? 81 now, 81 at our studios as we move into a another July day. Normal stuff. Dr. Bill says tropical weather could provide some rain by midweek. We'll get more from him coming up at around 8:35. All right, let's do this. It's a Tuesday. We check in with the man behind QuinnHillier.com. Also, the Mad Jones trilogy available now on Amazon. Ladies and gentlemen, Quinn Hillier. Hey, Quinn.
Hey, I can barely hear you, Sean.
Okay, well,
we're
working.
I just got you.
Okay. All right, good deal. We're working some technology this morning to make everything happen here, so hopefully you keep... the password is Pelican. If you can't hear me, just work the word Pelican into the conversation.
Pelicans are going to win the NBA title when they finally start playing again.
I knew they would go
served
there. All right. Yes, that's right. All right, Quinn, let's a lot to talk about this morning. Let's talk about here we are the week after, and the decision has been made. It's Tuberville versus Jones. If you watch television at all, you've seen the ads. They're both on TV, both swinging hard here, and it seems like it's a long way to November, but maybe not.
I haven't seen the Jones ad. What is he swinging about?
Well, he's just talking. No, he's not swinging. He's got the mask on. He's talking about. He's got a couple different versions of a mask ad out there.
Oh, okay. So he's not taking shots at Tuberville yet.
Yet, although I imagine that's to come. Let's talk about this going forward. That, you know, about a month and a half ago, some polling coming out of the Jones campaign saying that that Jones would do best against Tuberville in the general. You know, they're letting that slip. Now, I can't believe that as much when it was in the when it was in a primary. They're trying to move people one way or another in the primary. What do you think about it now? Where do you think the polls really are?
Oh, well, Tuberville is clearly a solid favorite in terms of likelihood to win, but he's not a sure thing. Something would have to go really badly for him not to win. Washington Post goes after Roy Moore type bad, but it is doable, as I have argued again and again, that because he has just barely started to be vetted politically, you never know what's out there and how the media can, you know, put a spotlight and put some different context on it than maybe it deserves or whatever. So he is potentially vulnerable, but it will take an awful lot to knock Tuberville down. I mean, Jones is the only incumbent in the country whose campaign feels like that of a challenger, because he really does have a long way to catch up.
Yeah, and I want to get back to that in just a second, but and it would have to be something you mentioned Roy Moore level, but I'd say it'd have to even be more, because I think with what happened in the special and people saw how that went down, I think if you replayed the special election, there's a chance now that Roy Moore beats Doug Jones. I think in retrospect, when people saw coming through that, it may be tighter, and maybe Doug Jones still wins, but it's even tighter, because I think people realized going forward that these stories all of a sudden came up, you know, that had supposedly been out there for all this time. Then they came up at the last minute. They kind of saw what went there. People are still, Alabamians are still going to look at things like that, but I think they're going to be even more critical than before.
Well, they will be if it's some last-minute hit job.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you know, the vetting already started after I did my piece about Tuberville's hedge fund thing. The New York Times, 2 weeks later, came out with their own, never credited me, by the way.
Yeah.
And that was sort of a warning shot across the bow. Make no mistake about it. The national media will come in and overturn every rock they can find to see what is under the rock related to Tuberville. And if there is something that is not just hype, if there's something that is, you know, that takes my hedge fund kind of thing and shows it to be even worse, and in a way that looks disqualifying, again, Tuberville could lose, but it's not likely. It's really not likely.
Quinn, you know, Tuberville, I think he came out this week and said right around 80% of Doug Jones' spending so far has come from out of state. I know Club for Growth, didn't they spend quite a bit on Tuberville? So I'm not sure how much of the spending on his campaign came from out of state as well. But we're looking at a race here that I think is going to draw not only a lot of national attention, but a lot of outside money. And maybe a tell as we get closer to the election is whether the Democrats are still pouring money into the state. Do you think that might let us know how close Jones is in polling?
Definitely. But then again, Jones already has, what, $8.5 million in the bank, or at least he did before he started his latest round of advertising, which is a significant advantage. And the National Democrats, I think, are going to let him spend down a lot of that $8 million and see if the polls move. If the polls move, I think you're right. If they see it as a real chance to hold the seat, I would not be surprised to see a lot of money come in, because that seat could be the difference between Senate control for the Democrats or falling one seat short of Senate control. And they will not let an opportunity pass, put it that way.
Yeah, Quinn, I'd like to look into the next part of this. So, because I think I think most people agree, Tommy Tuberville wins in November. But the state of Alabama is looking at another story out about census not being filled out here in Alabama. It's just absolutely drives me berserk, because we're already having outside forces, almost like wolves looking at sheep for our congressional district out there. And yet here in Alabama, we're not doing our part to try to repel that. If we lose a congressional district, now we go from 7 to 6. Even more important than ever is Alabama in the Senate, the only place we'll have, we have that equal footing. How does Tommy Tuberville go into a Senate and make a way for Alabama, being the new kid on the block? I mean, we'll have him there, and then I don't think it's too much of a stretch to think that Richard Shelby doesn't run again, and we could go and be basically the most junior senatorial delegation in Washington. That scares me.
Well, it scares me too, especially since Tuberville, when he does come back and visit, will probably stay in his home in Florida.
Zing.
But you're right. It's going to be a very big loss to Alabama in terms of seniority if Shelby does indeed retire and joins Tuberville, and then if we lose that House seat. That is why, if you're listening out there and you have not filled in the census, if you lost what they mailed you or emailed or whatever,
it's so easy online. You can do it in like 45 seconds.
Online. Please, right now, go do it, because you are costing yourself and Alabama and your district, you're costing it representation, you're costing it you're costing it probably jobs and money, you're costing it a big deal if you do not go and fill out the census. It takes 5 minutes to do. You do it, get your friends to do it if they haven't done it. It's really important. We could lose this House seat, and that would be devastating.
You know, I don't know why there is not. I know we have PSAs running and all that, but I don't know why there's not something with like Representative England along with Rep. McCutcheon that's running, at every, and believe me, TV has space for it now. We'd put it in on radio because it's the right thing to do. To be telling people both, it is bipartisan, it's nonpartisan, it's Alabama. It is Alabama. It's money to Alabama. It's representation to Alabama. This should be something that all Alabamians get behind. Both parties, full speed ahead. I don't know that people realize how important this is, because you can't get it back. It will be at least a decade, and then you got to question where the population growth goes in the next decade.
Definitely. Look, it's Alabama, and it's also Southern Alabama, because...
Yep.
Because where the district lines get drawn depends on how many people are officially recorded as living in each area. So if we lose a seat, And if South Alabamians don't fill out the census, so we're underreported, then our district lines are going to get further and further diluted. Our district is going to be given, sort of more area to cover.
Yeah, more geography, sure.
More geography to cover. And what that means is you've basically got the same amount of attention and maybe, government aid, et cetera, spread out over a larger area, and therefore the amount for everybody, if you want to be crass about it, is less.
How exactly would that work? So, and I'm not very optimistic that more people are going to fill out the census, I hate to say, but if we do end up losing a congressional seat, do they just, they tell one of the seven sitting state reps or one of the seven sitting congressmen that it's over, pack it up, and try another election somewhere else?
No. The state legislature has to, is told how many seats we have. And so if it goes from seven to six, they have to draw district lines for six districts instead of seven, and each district has to be within no more than 5% in terms of population from each other. So they all have to be approximately the same number of people. And where they draw the district lines, all sorts of things go into it, but basically if all seven incumbent Congress people from Alabama wanted to run, at least two of them would be running for one seat.
Yeah.
So
it's going
to
be North Alabama.
It's just they've got to decide whether or not to run, and if so, where to run. I've seen states lose seats in the census, and a sitting congressman get up and move 20 miles away so he or she could be in a district that looked better politically for him. Actually, Newt Gingrich did that a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
Where he literally packed up, moved 20, he might have even moved 30 or 40 miles, so he could be in a newly drawn district that was more favorable to Republicans. So that sort of thing does happen a lot.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of, possible people moving into RVs here going into it so they could move districts easily. Quinn, one of the things to look at, too, for us down here, I think we have an advantage. We have Chris Pringle, of course, who is in on that redistricting. But I don't want that to have to happen. Yes, can it advantage AL1? Yeah, but the whole state loses. I don't think, that's just that's the emergency. That's the parachute to this. The reality is our state already with not a great voice in Washington gets diminished, and it is something that, turned back to the start of this conversation, makes our position in the Senate more and more important. So Tuberville gets in there. It's going to be key to get him moved up as far as possible before Richard Shelby would decide not to run again. And I don't know how far we can go with that.
We're losing. If Shelby retires in 2 years, we lose the chairman of the most
appropriations
committee,
maybe, yep,
in the Senate, the Appropriations Committee. We've already lost Sessions 2 years ago and his seniority. Down in the first district, Bradley Byrne was starting,
yep,
to get some seniority. He is retired. Martha Roby is retiring and losing her seniority. So Alabama is going to be represented by junior members of both bodies regardless, which again makes it all the more important that somehow we keep at least the numbers the same. And
that's for
please,
sure,
people, go online. It takes less than 5 minutes. Fill out the darn census and help us all out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like somebody said on the text lines, probably not us, meaning the listeners of FM Talk 106.5 that haven't filled it out. Well, then get on the phone to your kinfolk, to your friends, tell people work. Fill out your darn census. Coming right back. More with Quinn Hillier right here on Mobile Mornings.
This tip for the outdoorsman is brought to you by 90 West Auto and Marine. If you're searching for a nice pre-owned vehicle or boat, that's all you'll find at 90 West Auto and Marine next to Mobile Lumber on Highway 90 and on Facebook.
Jackson, Dalton Norwig, Leanna. We appreciate your texts and calls, too, at 343-0106. Speaking of which, David said they need to do a PSA with Gus Malzahn and Nick Saban talking about, imagine if only 60% of the stands were full during the Iron Bowl. That would take away from the uniqueness of the game. Pretend the census is the Iron Bowl. Hey, man, that may be the right way to motivate people to get involved in this census. All right, Quinn, let's talk about this. Coronavirus numbers continue to rise here, and you have some states that are open that are shutting, that had shut back down. You even have the state of Alabama with a statewide mask mandate. How do we push through this and get this economy rolling?
That's a darn good question. Look, the first thing is everybody has to get over what is truly an idiotic reaction against wearing masks as if it's a sign of freedom. Yeah, it is maybe objectionable for the government to forcibly, you know, if they do some sort of major crackdown. But if you are in a public establishment, there is no reason, unless you have, you know, have some sort of breathing condition, there's no reason not to wear a mask. What you are doing is you are keeping the virus from spreading. If you are a carrier and are asymptomatic and don't know it or don't know it yet, you're keeping from spreading it to other people. The government is not being a nanny saying you have to wear a mask for your own protection. They're asking you to wear a mask to protect everybody else, to stop this spread, so the economy, so we can save health and save lives, and so the economy can return to normal sooner. And this is not a matter of freedom. This is a matter of public health and safety. And I'm not saying everybody should wear a mask if you're out riding your bike. I'm saying if you go into a public establishment, you wear the mask, you do all the things that Mayor Stimson tells us to do every day in his nightly recap, which, by the way, if you haven't signed up for, go to the city website and sign up for Mayor Stimson's reports. But every night he gives us the numbers. The numbers are getting worse. So wash your hands. Do all the things that we've been told to do. Take it seriously without going crazy, but just take it seriously. Don't go and tell other people you have to wear a mask. You know, don't shame other people, but just do your own part, please.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good recommendation. We always get that email. It's 9 o'clock, Quinn, when Mayor Stimson puts out that email. I start off, there's a guy out there, Jocko Willink, who I get something from around 4:35 in the morning when he gets up. And then I go to bed with the email from the mayor at 9-something when he updates after a long day. And I think that's one of the keys, too. If you want to look at it this way, the president is talking about wearing masks and the importance of wearing masks. And by the way, those update briefings are returning as of this afternoon. But with that being said, I said if somebody wants the best chance for President Trump to get reelected in November, they would be a proponent of the mask, because that gets businesses back open at as much capacity as they can, gets people back to work, gets the economy rolling, and at least gives that good economy advantage to President Trump in November. And I know that Biden's come out with his, doubling down on infrastructure plan here, but I don't know that, if you look at the two people that will be carrying the torch of an economy going forward, I think those undecided voters, if the economy is doing well, will probably stick with President Trump. Quinn, as always, man, we appreciate your time. Tell folks how to find you online.
Follow me, Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner, or go to QuinnHillier.com.
All right, Quinn, we appreciate it. Talking to you next week. Coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings right here on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 836 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning. How are you, Dalton?
Hey, doing great here at FM Talk 106.5, but I want to talk about what's going on Dolphin Street at McConnell Automotive. Tell me, what's hot on the lot right now?
Hot on the lot is employee pricing on SUVs. And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but man, it is the deal going on, I'm telling you. The employee pricing plus the money they got on these SUVs, that's the way to go right now. We're getting some great trades. Y'all come check those. You can check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Don't even have to come by here. If you want, got any questions, give us a call at 251-476-4141. Or you come by and see us, and we're in the heart of Midtown. We're on Dolphin Street, east of I-65. We'd love to see you. Everybody's practicing social distance around here. We got our mask on. Come on by, say hi. What else can I say?
Well,
we've got it all going on here.
Yeah, and one thing you can't do online, but you still ought to check out, is the body shop at McConnell. You guys have a great crew there.
That's right. Gary and the girls and the guys in the back there will take care of all your needs, your insurance needs. You know, the insurance companies, I think they try to steer you where you go to take your car, but call us. We'll take care of all those needs for you, and that's at 476-4141. Or you can call straight to the body shop at 471, that's 251-471-1777.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, our phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Take your calls and texts there. President Trump, today, I guess this afternoon, maybe 4 o'clock our time is what I'm seeing here, we'll return to the coronavirus task force briefings. Now, remember we did that in the past, and they would go on and on and on and on. I don't know if they will go on at the same length, but they will be happening again, starting again today and going forward, as we have more cases and more places out there. Mm-hmm. And want to hear from the government and the latest officials or the latest from officials on what we're doing, whether it's the vaccine that seems to be pretty exciting, this Operation Warp Speed, or how we're dealing with treating the virus.
And you know, there's a lot of word out there, and pretty much the party line and the media line is that the president wants to slow down testing. And we've heard him say before, you know, the reason we're seeing so many cases now is because we're testing so many. And I agree, on its face, that sounds ridiculous. And I don't have enough knowledge to not say it's ridiculous. But I'm wondering, as we hear about these people that have been tested more than once, mm-hmm. you know, they test positive a second or third time before they get a negative test, I don't see how those numbers aren't being added to the numbers of new cases. We've seen, you know, it's tough for these testing sites and for the hospitals. It's already tough enough for them to get all the information out that they're currently providing, but to individually, you know, separate the positive tests, I think, much like we were seeing with the number of tests that are out there, that just because there's been, you know, over 46 million people tested in America, or more than 46 million total tests performed, I don't think that anywhere near 46.5 million people have been tested. I think the same thing could be said about the nearly 4 million total cases of coronavirus in the country. I don't see how they're separating the number of new positive tests from the number of total people that have cases.
You know, what it could be done, and I don't know if you get all 50 states, everybody aligned, and have a new standard on how these things are reported, and basically put an asterisk when you change that new system, kind of like the pre-steroid, post-steroid stuff for baseball. Put that asterisk there and say, okay, now going forward, we're all using this standard, because I think what we want to, some people just want to talk about the numbers and the totals, but what I'm interested in is day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, and trends out there. And that's where, you know, you could say, okay, now this was screwed up in the past. We were doing it this way, that way. Here's the new standards. Everything will be reported as of this standard going forward.
Yeah, and, you know, the White House, they they started to divert the current data that comes in from all the hospitals and testing sites. It's no longer going to the CDC as of last Wednesday, I think, or the NIH, the National Institutes of Health. They're sending it directly to the HHS, and they said it's kind of to streamline all of this information and make their numbers more efficient. I don't agree that we need to tamp down the testing any bit, but when you see all this, you know, the fear headlines that we're also used to seeing, and that's not to say that there are a number of new cases out there that people are still dying, because they are, but it puts a little bit of a different spin on it if the same people are testing positive three or four times. I mean, we could possibly be looking at actually much, much fewer people that have had coronavirus, which really, if you're somebody who's looking to maybe get herd immunity, although, you know, it's been said that's not the best route to go, then we could still be even further away from that than we are if the current numbers mean that the same people have been tested positive three or four times.
We just need to make sure, number one, that's accurate information going out, and then when it's sent out, that it goes into the right columns, and those columns say, you know, first test, second test, those kind of things going forward.
And real quickly, I know the CDC changed their guidelines again for the people that have tested positive or haven't tested positive. And, you know, for a long time they were saying, and maybe this goes hand in hand with the president reportedly wanting to stop testing as much, but now the CDC is saying, okay, if you're asymptomatic and you've been in contact, you have to quarantine for 14 days. But even if you're symptomatic and you've tested positive, they're saying now they don't want you to get tested again to see if you're negative. And maybe that's because some people have gotten better and they just have some remnants left in their system and they might not even be contagious anymore. But the CDC is now saying, you know, if you test positive, wait 10 days. You have to quarantine for 10 days. But once you go for 24 hours without symptoms, then they're okay with you going back out into the world. That's the newest headline that they put out yesterday.
Yeah, but from my perspective, I would want another test to say I'm not able to spread it at that point. Right? I want that test so when I go out, I have confidence. You know, I'm still wear a mask, but I have confidence that I wouldn't spread it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I would completely want to know that I'm negative. We do have a few people on the phone line here.
All right. Let's take that over.
Let's first go to Clifford in Mobile. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, guys.
Morning. So what do you want to talk about?
I won't say where I work, but, you know, the lines are so long to some people, they'll sign up and lose patience, and they'll leave. And they're telling me that they're getting calls saying that they tested positive, but they didn't hang around to take the test because they had other things to do, you know, time constraint.
Now, Clifford, that's pretty important. Can you talk to those people privately and see if they could contact us? Because if that is true, that is huge. Let's vet that out. That's super important.
Amen. Okay, yeah, I'm a long-time listener.
So, yeah, if you talk to them, just say, hey, and I'm just kind of, you know, you can talk to us, and maybe Leanna can get your information off air, but if you talk to them privately, and I think if you've listened to me long enough, if I give you my word that I'm not going to, you know, give people's names or anything like that, I am, you know, if anything, a man of my word, Clifford, but I would like to talk to those people and see, because that would be absolutely huge to find out.
Yeah, and I'm going to put you on hold, Clifford, so you can talk with Leanna, but, you know, that's something that I've seen a lot around Facebook, and I don't know if for some reason that discounts it.
I see a lot of things on Facebook.
I know it discounts it in my mind because I've seen basically the same people retweet or share the same thing on Facebook where they have a friend that left line. I mean, pretty much the exact same words that Clifford just said there, that they had a friend that was waiting in line for testing, left, and still got a positive test back. It seems like that's happening to a lot of people, and if that's really happening, then that truly is an issue. But I wonder.
Yeah, let's not just spread that. Let's do this. Let's get those people. Let's find out. I mean, that would be such a story. So, Clifford, please ask those folks, and I will promise their anonymity. I'm a man of my word, but I would like to talk to them.
All right, let's go to Ricky in Mobile. Hey, Ricky.
How y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing all right.
Why do y'all think we had three branches of government?
Because we had some genius founders.
Because they can't trust each other. Because we know tyranny when we see it. There's millions of men and women that die for that that constitution that y'all just walk on every morning on the show.
We walk on the constitution.
Y'all don't have any right to tell anybody, CDC or anybody, don't have any right to come in, or any doctor to come in. I mean, what about second opinion? What happened to second opinions and our rights? I mean, we don't need a government to tell us nothing. And if it, like that guy just called in and talked about false pay, you know why that they getting them tests back positive when they didn't even take the test? Because they get $14,000 a pop for it. That's
for a patient.
That's what's going on. This is nothing
but a
hoax.
Ricky.
Complete
hoax. Okay, first of all, let's go back to the first part. Did we step on the Constitution? Really, Ricky? Really,
yeah.
Ricky, you are a better champion of the Constitution. Ricky, hey, Ricky.
The Democrat and liberal and the
I am not defending. Ricky, you're a fool. Ricky,
and what we
you don't? Then you need hearing. You know what? You need a hearing aid, Ricky. Ricky, you need a hearing aid. Because I've been defending the Constitution when it's not popular on both sides since before there was a President Trump, Ricky. I don't know where you were back then, but I've been doing that my whole life. So don't challenge me on defending the Constitution.
John, why are you always trying? Are you just trying to stir up stuff so get us mad? So, I mean, I don't understand.
Ricky, you get yourself mad, dog.
We need to do what the government says. No, we don't need. The government needs
when did
to do
I say
we
that?
The government, because we're the people.
When
we're
did I
power.
Say that, Ricky? When did I say that? Give me some facts.
John, it just seems like, okay, I'll give you a chance. It seems like I don't know if you're just trying to make a good show or not, but it seems like just listen to you, you're a Democrat. You're a liberal Democrat, and you push whatever the CDC says. Look, Fauci.
When do I do that?
Gates are going down.
Didn't we, Ricky, didn't we literally just go
you're
against
fool,
what the
Ricky.
CDC said?
Yeah, I understand some of it. I'm just saying the way it sounds to me. Maybe you get some other calls you'll see. I'm just telling y'all the truth because I'm not trying to hurt you.
You're not telling me the truth, Ricky. You're telling me your skewed opinion of the truth of things that I didn't say. You know, you've done this before.
Well, I apologize. If you didn't say it, you didn't say it. But it seems like you said it. Is that fair?
But I didn't say it.
Okay? Yeah, it seems like y'all leaning. It's like the liberal colleges. Look at all the students that's in the street.
No, let's talk about me. Let's keep talking about me.
Just for the last 20 years, that's our kids out there doing that, and that's our liberal colleges. This is a Marxist war revolution we're in, and y'all messing about. There's 6,000 people that Cuomo is going to pay. There's people suing Cuomo for killing their people for putting them back in the old folks' home when they were sick.
Ricky, let's go back to me.
This is about the political war that's going on up top, and between Democrats and Republicans, and they're using everything they can on both sides to destroy the economy, shut it down. It's all happening, and I'm telling
you several things can be happening at the same time, Ricky.
CBS or NBC or whatever, or CNN, go to alternative media sites and find out what's really going on, because it is going on.
Ricky, I look at more things,
and we need to wake up to the battle of what's really going on. And
what is really going on, Ricky?
Huh?
Ricky, give us a manifesto. What's really going on?
What's really going on is that they, Bill Gates and Fauci, 10 years ago, come up with this virus. Judy Mikovits, I think her name is, worked with Fauci and Bill Gates. I mean, not Bill Gates, but Fauci, 20 years ago. And she, Fauci destroyed that woman when she tried to tell him about the AIDS. I mean, you got to look it up. I mean, you got to look at YouTube.
I've listened to it. I've heard what she said.
Coming out about this.
I've heard what she said.
The biggest
is this virus real, Ricky?
History,
hey, Ricky.
To try to take down a sitting president.
Ricky, is this virus real?
What's going on? Because it's coming.
Ricky, is the virus real?
Is the virus real?
Is the virus real?
Is the flu bug real? Hey, man, there's more people died last year from the flu than there is this year. There's 2 million people tested positive in Alabama yesterday. Well, one died.
2 million people? That's not true, Ricky.
Positive.
Ricky, nobody said 2 million people.
Ricky,
you're just making up crap. There's no stat that showed 2 million people tested positive. You are, Ricky. I know, but where did you get the 2 million? Okay, where did you get the 2 million? Okay, enough. All right. I've had my full quotient, I guess.
That was fun.
Ricky, today. Yeah, that was good. Good flights.
Always good.
Do you want to run to the break and then come back?
Yeah, we'll run to the break and then coming back. More MSNBC morning show right here. FM Talk 106. Oh, Mobile Mornings? Okay.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
MSNBC. All right, we'll be right back. right, 856 FM Talk 106.5, and wrapping up Mobile Mornings, Dalton Orwig, Sean Sullivan on remote. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk with Gary in Gulf Shores. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. Comments on a couple of things. First of all, Ricky, I think he had his heart in the right place. He's concerned about the Constitution, which is certainly getting attacked. But you guys are probably the most objective and conservative talk show host around. And, you know, most people listen to you appreciate that, I think. And I think you may have been confusing some comments from some callers, which may be comments that you guys said.
I think he stays anyway, confused.
The other subject is SEC football. We got 12 Auburn degrees in our extended family, so we pretty much are Auburn people. But and we want SEC football as much as anybody. Here's what I'm trying to figure out: was if you know, they have an all conference schedule, and Auburn and Mississippi State play the first game. Let's say Auburn then has a little outbreak, and then Mississippi State's been exposed to them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, you know, and you got two or three teams that occurs each week, but that affects the following 2 weeks. I think it's going to be real challenging to have a full season that's meaningful. And again, I want them to play football, but I just think it's going to get real interesting if they start having outbreaks in the different teams and then have to determine who they quarantine and for how long,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, all that kind of. And if it's three players on one team, probably not a big issue, but if it's 10 players and seven of them are starters, you know, it changes the dynamics of the whole thing. So anyway, they just have to have a season with an asterisk by it and do the best we can.
Yeah, and we appreciate the call, Gary. My co-host on Sports Night, Corey LeBounty, had a pretty good idea. He said that if they do play conference-only schedules, maybe play every other week, and you might have to stretch the season out a little bit more, but if you play every other week, then obviously you have those 14, 13, 12 days in between games, give those players enough time to quarantine and maybe get back out there. That's just one theory that I've heard, Sean.
Yep. Well, we'll see. Going forward here, going to wrap it up. Jeff Poore will be in for Midday Mobile today, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Y'all have a good one. Mike Gallagher next.